Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And welcome to the Water Cooler, everybody. Thanks for being here. I'm David Brody. It's Monday, March 22nd, 2021. Big show today. Mike Pompeo, Laura Trump, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Dave Bossie on today. If only I could get that elusive exclusive with my mother. I'm still trying. Hang with us. We begin tonight, or today, with bad political PR news for the Biden administration. Not only has the illegal immigration crisis not left the headlines, it's getting worse, and it looks like it's here to stay. Now we have pictures inside Biden's detention facilities on the border down in Texas. If Trump were president, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the Dems would be tripping over themselves to get to the microphone and call this a moral outrage. Instead, we have a Biden administration who can't even call it what it is, a crisis. More in a moment. Plus, the Republican Secretary of State feeling the heat today down in Georgia. Many conservatives think he royally messed up election results down in Georgia. Now he has a Republican opponent endorsed by, wait for it, that's right, Donald J. Trump. And the Joe Biden press conference countdown has begun. Why do I feel an absolute train wreck coming on? Of course, I'm also waiting for the media to ask hard-hitting questions like this one. How was your knee after the fall the other day? And by the way, do you blame Trump for it? Like a vault. First, we begin with immigration and national security. And who better to opine on national security than the former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, back with us on the Water Cooler. Mr. Secretary, great to see you, sir.
David, it's great to be with you today.
Well, look, today the White House said the State Department and other agencies are using like Facebook and Instagram and yes, even a coloring book campaign to dissuade illegal immigrants, I kid you not, from coming to the border. Your thoughts on this?
You know, those immigrants are looking to the north and they're talking to their friends, they're WhatsApping with their family members, their cousins, people who came before them. And they're being told that this is welcoming, that you can come, that it's likely you're going to be able to come here, make your asylum claim, and stay in the United States. It doesn't matter what we put in a coloring book. That message to those people is going to be that a green light has been given by this administration to violate American sovereignty and them to make the enormously dangerous trek from El Salvador, from Honduras, from Guatemala into the United States. This is multiple crises. People say, is this a crisis? No, it is multiple crises. It is an American national security crisis. It is a crisis for American sovereignty, and it is a humanitarian crisis of epic proportions that benefits only the cartels inside of Mexico.
You know, I could speak for another 8 minutes or so, the time we have left in this block regarding immigration, but I want to move on to a few other things. The Israelis, they will vote yet again. My goodness, how many elections do they have over there? Quite a few. What about Benjamin Netanyahu? What is your sense? Will he survive this?
Goodness, I've gotten to know Prime Minister Netanyahu incredibly well. I've seen the polling. I don't want to get involved in the Israeli election. Here's what I know. I know that the Israeli people understand that they have to be strong, they have to defend their own sovereignty, that they can't take an America that wants to join a JCPOA laying down. They've got to respond to this in a way that protects and preserves their security. And I think whoever gets elected and is able to form a coalition over the coming days and weeks will be someone who advocates for that. Prime Minister Netanyahu has most certainly done that. I am confident that Israeli leadership will be supported by the Israeli people in that in the months and weeks and years ahead.
I want to ask you a little bit about vaccines and diplomacy. We've been hearing this a lot. Vaccine diplomacy, something along the lines of 27% of the world's vaccines are here in the United States. And, you know, I know a lot of Democrats, a lot of liberals say, you know, give it all out. Give a lot of it out to certain different countries around the world. What is your view on this vaccine diplomacy that we're hearing?
Well, what we've shown during this last year is that capitalism works, that risk-taking works, that investing in these businesses and allowing them their own creative capacity to come up with a solution has delivered the world a set of vaccines that is ultimately going to solve this problem that came from Wuhan, China, that was foisted upon us by a Chinese Communist Party that didn't give a rip about global epidemics. And so the United States has a responsibility to make sure that we first get this right for our own people, right? We talked about this in a way that was shorthand. We talked about America first. Mm-hmm. The United States has a responsibility to ensure that we follow all the international protocols, that we observe normal commercial practices, but we should do our best to make sure that we get America to where it needs to be, that there's enough vaccines for ourselves, and then we will turn our attention to making sure we deliver this everywhere and always all across the world. The American people are the most generous people on the face of the planet, and I am confident that it will be America and American efforts and American-led vaccine efforts that deliver a solution to the Wuhan virus all across the globe.
To combine vaccines and immigration, are you concerned a little bit about what the Biden administration is doing that down there in terms of illegal immigrants and health risks and safety as it relates to COVID-19 protocol? It seems like there might be a message down there.
David, I'll combine all three things we've been talking about. It's an immigration problem. It's mm-hmm. a problem with respect to people coming in who may well have COVID-19. And this is a problem of China bringing fentanyl mm-hmm. across our borders as well. These are all come together in this place along our southern border. It's why the work that we did, and it took us a long time, it took us many months of complex negotiations with the Mexican government, with the government of the Central American countries, to deliver an outcome that was right outcome for America, and frankly, the right outcome for those countries too. Mm-hmm. And to have undone that without thinking that this would happen precisely the way I could have predicted would have happened if you undid our policies, has led to an enormous tragedy on our southern border.
We've mentioned China a couple times. I want to ask you about that dynamic between China, Russia, the United States. We saw what happened in Alaska with Secretary of State Blinken and the Chinese. And of course, we know about Putin and Biden and some of the exchange of words between them. And now we have China, as you see here, Russian's foreign minister to visit China, hard on heels of Alaska talks. How concerned are you about a China-Russia alliance to the point where this could be a major danger spot here for the United States, more than just a danger spot?
So we were clearly concerned about Russia and China individually and concerned about them finding places where they could work together. Mm-hmm. I'm of the belief that long term there are enormous differences between these two places. We treated them differently for that reason. They'll find tactical places where they'll work mm-hmm. together against us, against democracy, against the West. It's why the world must unite to deliver on the Western ideas, the things our founders talked about a couple hundred plus years ago. If we work together in the democratic nations of the world against the likes of the authoritarian regimes, both in China and in Russia, then no matter what they do together, we will still prevail. Our kids and grandkids will live in a world that we recognize today as Western and moral and with freedom of religion everywhere and always.
I want to turn to vaccine passports while I have you here. There's been a lot of talk, a bit of controversy, more than a bit of controversy, about whether or not vaccine passports could potentially work, whether they're constitutional. There's a lot of things going on around that. Obviously, in Europe, they're doing this, or they're about to. It says health experts and rights groups are deeply concerned. What are your views about these vaccine passports? Because I got to tell you, it has a lot of people, I think, concerned about, wait a minute, I got to be vaccinated to travel? I mean, what's that about?
Yeah, I don't think vaccine passports are going to make any sense for a number of reasons. We could spend a long time talking about it. I think they will operationally fail and that they're a bad idea. This problem is going to be resolved. We're going to get vaccines to where people want to take them. We'll do so in a way that's safe. Well, people will again be allowed to travel. We've had viruses. We have flu. We have all of these things all across. We will figure this out. We will get the world to a place where people can travel again without going through the enormously invasive and frankly bureaucratically failed ideas that say we're going to create some kind of a vaccine passport that you have to get on an airplane. Mm-hmm. I think it's a poor idea.
And while we're on the kind of the vaccine COVID track, Dr. Fauci, the former president, Donald Trump, had a lot of tough words for Dr. Fauci. What's your view on Dr. Fauci? Biden seems to be in love with him.
I'm in love with science. So we've got to get science right, and then we have to work in the real world, and those two things need to come together. So there is a real economic component to thinking about this as well. And my critique, if any, of Dr. Fauci wasn't that he was working in a nefarious way. He was doing his best to get the science right. He gets it wrong, too. We shouldn't treat him as infallible because he's got doctor in front of his name. What we needed to do was do the best we can to get the science right every day and then operate in the real world. And today, whether it's our schools that remain closed or the fact that we're now telling people who've been vaccinated that, boy, they still need to wear a mask. These are things that have no foundation in science and they are impractical over the long term. And we need to stop pretending and doing this Somehow it's become politically correct to do these things. We have to break out from that. We've got to get the world going back again. I know that we can do it. I know that we can do so mm-hmm. safely and consistent with science. And I hope that Dr. Fauci and all those around President Biden will support those things.
I've got less than a minute left, but as we wrap up, President Biden finally has his first press conference coming up this Thursday. So if you were one of the press on hand in that press conference, what is a question that you'd like to ask Joe Biden?
You know, the most important challenge confronting America today is the threat from the Chinese Communist Party. I think I'd ask him what he thinks the Chinese think of America. Because this is an important question. If the Chinese Communist Party believes that we're in decline because of things like the Democrat Party being co-opted by the progressive left or wokeism on our campuses, if Xi Jinping comes to believe that America is in decline, the capacity for America to respond will be greatly mitigated. So I'd be very interested in what the vice president thinks the Chinese think about the United States.
Mike Pompeo, a lot of people interested in what you have to say as you move forward in your career. We really appreciate you coming here on The Water Cooler. Thanks so much.
David, thank you so much. Have a good day.
All right. Mike Pompeo, a former Secretary of State, and we'll have to talk to him next time. Who knows? I hear he's going up to New Hampshire. Okay, I got that registered. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, next on The Water Cooler. We'll see you in a moment.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome back to The Water Cooler, everybody. I tell you what, I don't call her the most dangerous in a good way, right? The most dangerous woman in Congress, because Democrats, I mean, I feel like they're running away and scared of her, I guess. We're not. She's right here on the show. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, back with us on The Water Cooler. Congresswoman, great to have you on the show again.
Thank you, David. I'm happy to be here.
Well, look, I mean, they're throwing everything, the kitchen sink, everything at you. They want to expel you, I mean, from Congress. Though I thought it was interesting, Nancy Pelosi, she decided to not go that route. What did you think of that? That was interesting.
Well, I didn't really believe her, to be honest with you. I think it's just because it wouldn't be successful at this time. They had 72 co-sponsors, but they didn't have the Republican support they needed to get the two-thirds vote for the resolution to be successful. And so I think that's why Nancy Pelosi said it's not a position of leadership. She likes to be successful in the things that she takes on. And I'm sure she would love to get me expelled from Congress. But it also would set an ugly precedent for Democrats. You see, Maxine Waters is a sitting congresswoman, called for Trump supporters to be attacked wherever they could find them. Kamala Harris, our sitting vice president, even called for people to donate to the Minnesota Freedom Fund, which raises money and helps bail out criminals that rioted, burned cities, looted businesses, attacked police officers and federal buildings. So did our Minnesota congresswoman, Ilhan Omar. And don't forget about Eric Swalwell, had a sexual relationship with a Chinese spy while he was a member of Congress, still is a member of Congress, and sat on the Intel Committee, and he still sits on the Intel Committee. So you see, Democrats have a little bit of a problem if they try to expel me for words that they didn't like, that the media has just blown up, and I've apologized for, that were years ago before I ever became a candidate or a member of Congress. Then they'd be setting a nasty precedent.
And yet they try to do this to you, and guess what? It always backfires because there's money that you've been able to people coming to your defense from a financial standpoint, from a campaign standpoint. What's the message there? Because over $300,000, almost $400,000 through this.
Yeah, that's right, because this is what Americans do. They reward people that they see fighting for them. And they have sent just so many small dollar contributions that I am so grateful for, because they're happy that I'm in there standing my ground and fighting for America first and being one of the few to stand up to the Democrats. And this is what great American people do. they support people they see standing up and fighting back against the radical Democrats. Everyone's fed up. Mm-hmm. This has been 3 months now of a Biden administration, or, you know, roughly that. And this has been horrific what they're doing.
Yeah. Congresswoman, tell me about what happened with Twitter. What was it, a 12-hour suspension? And then it was a mistake. What in the world? What? Wait, I'm trying to understand exactly what Big Brother. I'm sorry, Twitter. Did I say Big Brother? My bad. My inside voice came out. Tell me about what's happening.
Yeah, David, you're right. They gave me a 12-hour suspension simultaneously, magically, at the same time that Democrats introduced their resolution to expel me. They silenced me at the same time. You know, we emailed them immediately when the suspension started and repeatedly throughout the 12-hour suspension. But I served my time in Twitter jail, just like someone that's wrongly convicted of a crime and would have to serve out their full sentence in prison. The Twitter didn't lift the 12-hour suspension until it was the 12 hours were up. And then afterwards, they gave their little excuse of, oh, that was an error. And it was just part of their algorithms mixed with human interaction. So I've emailed Twitter government. I'm hoping to meet with them in person. I would like to meet with them and have a little chat about how I can run across all kinds of things on Twitter, but I can do nothing wrong and get a 12-hour suspension. But it's not just about me. It's about conservatives all over that don't have the position that I have to use. It's really about the American people, conservatives that have been just kicked off of Twitter and silenced indefinitely.
So just a quick follow-up. You're saying the timing is curious, therefore you believe this may have been done then on purpose.
Yeah, I'm calling their number. I believe it was on purpose, and I think everyone else knows it is too.
Yeah. Let me ask you about down in Georgia, the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger. I tell you what, here comes Donald Trump, I guess, to the rescue, if you will, endorsing Jody Heiss's upcoming opponent. What do you make of some of that news today coming out of the Trump world?
Well, I was privileged enough to know ahead of time that our great President Trump would be endorsing my friend and colleague, Congressman Jody Heiss. I'm very excited for Congressman Heiss, and I believe he would do an incredible job for Georgia as Secretary of State. And so I'm absolutely thrilled with the news. And I think people all over Georgia are so excited too.
As we wrap up here, we just have about a minute and a half or so. I want to ask you about the media in this country. And you know, Fox News has come under quite a bit of hit too from conservatives. You know, people moving away from Fox News based on they've kind of gone a little bit left. They're not left, obviously, but they've moved a little bit left. What's been your experience there? I look for you there. I don't see you there often, if at all. I don't know. I don't track it totally. But what's your experience there with Fox?
Well, if you notice, David, I'm one of the most conservative members of Congress, and I'm never invited to be on Fox News. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that Fox News changed drastically after the election. Republicans all over the country constantly talk about how Fox has changed, and they don't see it the same as they used to. Now, there are some great shows on there that I absolutely love, but there's only a few. And I think that's really sad. You know, Fox News has some people on their board, maybe some of the same people that didn't do a good job under President Trump's first 2 years to pass his agenda. Things like funding the border wall, defunding Planned Parenthood, defunding sanctuary cities. Mm-hmm. I think it was Speaker of the House at that time. Didn't do that, now serves on the board for Fox News.
Yeah, too hot to handle, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. They can't deal. All right, really appreciate your time. Enjoy recess week. Of course, I say enjoy your hard at work. I really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, David. It's so good to talk to you today.
All right, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, and she's right. Fox has moved to the left, and there has been a financial hit, especially during that first portion of what they were doing there right around that election time. All right, we're back in a moment with Lara Trump, former senior advisor to the Trump campaign. We'll see you in a moment.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. We're here on the swanky set. This is nice. It's kind of like Oprah. Where is Oprah? Oh, that's right. She's interviewing Meghan and Harry. Is that interview still going on? Wake of all. All right. Let's bring in Laura Trump, former senior advisor to the Trump campaign. And of course, I mean, how about we just have no title? It's just Laura Trump is here. Laura,
oh.
Great. You're like Oprah. Laura's here. Great to see you.
Thank you. I will take it. Look, if we're going with one name, I mean, I'm so honored. Thank you.
100%. You should brand that, by the way. Laura, there it is. All right. Let me ask you a little bit about Donald Trump today went ahead and endorsed Jody Heiss for Secretary of State in Georgia. Brad Raffensperger's coming under a lot of criticism down there. What did you make of that? And that seems obviously like a big deal. Donald Trump returning into the endorsement game here.
Yeah, well, I think we've seen very clearly when Donald Trump endorses people, conservatives generally follow suit and want to vote for that person. I mean, he's taken people from, you know, being far, far behind to well over the line, winning their races. One of the most recent, Mitch McConnell, was actually behind in his state, and Donald Trump stepped in, and then it sort of seems like Mitch did not return the favor. With that, I will say that, look, I think the people of Georgia saw very clearly their Secretary of State was not doing a great job. Obviously, there were a lot of people that voted for Donald Trump who were very frustrated with what they saw happen during the past several months leading up to, you know, January 6th. There was a lot left to be desired. So I'm not surprised to see that my father-in-law has endorsed the opponent, but we'll see what happens with that race. Very interesting.
Speaking about your father-in-law, Jason Miller obviously went out on the shows yesterday, talked about he said there's some sort of social media company, I don't know what he called it, 2 to 3 months from now, Donald Trump, here it is, Trump will return to social media on his own new platform, Aide says. Well, Laura, help us out. People, there's so many people that want to know. I mean, just between you and me, no one's watching. No way, actually, a lot of people are. What's going on there? What can you tell me?
Well, what I can tell you is that obviously Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, there are a lot of social media outlets that have proven to suppress the voices of conservatives. And so I think that that we have all felt like, gosh, wouldn't it be nice if there was a platform available that would allow us to say what we want? Oh, my gosh, the First Amendment. Imagine that, our freedom of speech not being stifled. And obviously you do have some great outlets like Parler out there, and there are a few other ones. I won't break any news here, but I know that it's something my father-in-law has been working on. He's taken it, you know, really seriously, and he wants a space where everyone can feel welcomed, where people don't feel like, you know, the fact checkers are going to be all over them, even though these things are factual oftentimes that the fact checkers get on. So I think it'll be really exciting to see sort of this next phase for my father-in-law. We know anything that he does, the media is on top of it in a second. So I think they're going to be very excited to see what's in store for Donald Trump coming up.
All right. There are a lot of that's a good transition to my next question about a lot of conservatives in North Carolina and across the country would be very excited. You know, Laura, if you ran for Senate, Richard Burr's open seat, this is the obligatory time, the obligatory question of the interview. Look at that. Even another. Oh, the Associated Press. I don't think this is fake news. It says another Trump on the ballot. Laura Trump eyes Senate seat. So are you eyeing a Senate seat? What's going on, Laura? What's the latest?
Yeah, well, it's something that I'm working on. I'm considering very seriously running in North Carolina. I don't have any announcement to make as of today. But, you know, there's a lot that goes into it, obviously. It involves my family and so many things that go into a decision this big. But that said, I would absolutely love to represent the people of my home state. North Carolina is where I was born and raised. My entire family still lives there. It would be an absolute honor to represent the people of North Carolina. So we'll see what happens. But yes, it is something I'm taking very seriously and absolutely considering it.
All right, let me do a strategic follow-up with a smile on my face. So what would get you to a yes? What would get you to a no? I mean, what are some, at least kind of take us through a little bit of the thought processes to things you have to consider. I think that's a fair question as I pat myself on the back.
Yeah, it is a fair question. Look, I think that it's no surprise that our family has been the target of so much over the past really 5 years. I think that this would make me a very, very clear target for those on the left, for those in the media, Hollywood, et cetera. But, you know, there's a lot of consideration when it comes to my family. It's not just about me. I have two young children, 1 and 3. My son is in school. My daughter very shortly will be in school. Where we live, the Trump Organization, there's a lot that has to happen in order for that to go forward. But it's all being kind of worked on behind the scenes, and we're going to see what's the best fit for our family.
Yeah. Is this a choice that conservatives have right now in this country? It seems like the Republican Party is divided. I'm not trying to play into the mainstream media or the liberal media, what they talk about. You know, they always like to have a big fight. But it does seem like there is there's MAGA Nation, and then you've got the McConnells and the Romneys and others. I say McConnell, but definitely Murkowski. What's happening to the Republican Party right now, Laura?
Well, gosh, I think that the vast majority of folks in the Republican Party are on the side of Donald Trump. I think they very clearly saw the enthusiasm for President Trump, the way he broke records, voting records. You know, no incumbent has received that many votes, 75 million people that we know of, David, that actually came out and voted for him. I think, like we were talking about earlier, look, anything he touches turns to gold in a sense. I mean, when he says, I'm going to back a candidate, those candidates often do very, very well. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, people have seen that the movement that started behind Donald Trump is going nowhere. I think they would have to be a little crazy, quite frankly, to go against that. So I think the vast majority of the Republican Party is aligned behind Donald Trump. He is still the head of the party. So I think the McConnells, the Romneys, the Murkowskis, et cetera, are probably going to be few and far between. And I think they're going to learn in 22, maybe a very hard lesson, so many of them.
And as we wrap up, less than a minute left, this is my Oprah-style question. I mean, I'm on the Oprah set, so I got to ask the question. How has this been for you? How are you doing? There's been a lot since the campaign. Your faith is very important to you. What kind of a journey have you been on, kind of from a personal standpoint? I'm not going to ask you to hug a tree or anything, but tell me a little bit about this.
Yeah, well, look, I think there's some part of this that has been a blessing, obviously, to kind of take a step back and away from things a bit. It has given us time to spend with our family. And as a family, the Trump family, look, we all got into this thing, politics, so to speak, as a family, and we've all kind of come out of it as a family. We've been able to spend more time together. January 20th was obviously a bit of a tough day for all of us.
Sure.
But I don't think it's the end of the road. We all are very optimistic about the future for America. I think people are quickly seeing why a Joe Biden presidency is an absolute disaster. I think he's going to be a one-term president, so we'll see.
Laura Trump, always great to see you. Great to catch up with you. Thanks so much for being here on the Water Cooler.
Thank you.
All right. Laura Trump, always just telling it like it is, straight shooter. Don't play around with her, folks. Don't mess with her. North Carolina could experience that potentially soon, but you'll have to come back on the show and give us the announcement if there is one. Anyhow, we're back in a moment. David Bossie, President, Citizens United.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. Boy, we've had a, I'm going to say it, we've had a great show. Thank you very much. Mike Pompeo at the top, then Marjorie Taylor Greene, then Laura Trump. My goodness gracious, it's like MAGA flag, MAGA flag, MAGA flag. And we're having another MAGA flag coming up, David Bossie, in just a moment, the president of Citizens United. By the way, he had an op-ed that aired on Fox News, actually just this past weekend, talking about the legislative filibuster. There it is, blowing up the legislative filibuster to pass universal mail-in voting, amnesty, gun confiscation, and the Green New Deal will cost Democrats both houses of Congress in 2022. Less than 20 months from now, and this, in effect, would mark the end of the Biden agenda. That is David Bossie writing in an op-ed, and guess what? Now he gets to speak. David Bossie joining us now on the Water Cooler, President of Citizens United. David, great to see you.
Hey, thanks for having me back, always.
I love the fact that you come with a bookcase. I'm not sure if that's a package deal, but it looks beautiful, FYI.
All right. In the world of COVID, you get what you get.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. Everybody's doing Skype shots. All right, let me ask you about this op-ed. Why don't you expand on it a little bit more? Because Democrats, I mean, what is going on? H.R. 1, the Equality Act, the filibuster, budget reconciliation. Come on, David. My goodness.
Yeah, no, it's a great question, and that's why I decided that we needed to pen that op-ed that you talked about that was up yesterday. It's almost as if the Democrats feel that they won some massive landslide election this past November. The House of Representatives has the narrowest margin it's had, the narrowest majority in over 100 years. The Senate is literally 50-50, and Joe Biden is president of the United States by about 42,000 votes in three states. We are a divided nation. And a divided nation is exactly why the filibuster exists in the first place. It's why the founding fathers created it. And we want to make sure that the minority's rights are preserved. And that's what's required. That's why in the Senate, you need to have, bipartisan legislation. You need to have both parties come together to get that 60 vote threshold to really get a vote up or down on anything. That's what is required by the Senate rules is a 60 vote threshold. And that's what Mitch McConnell is never going to allow, H.R. 1 or the Green New Deal. And that's what the Democrats know. If they get rid of the filibuster, they can ram through the Green New Deal and H.R. 1, which is an assault on our free speech. But they can also create D.C. statehood and give votes to the U.S. Senate for the U.S. Senate. In the U.S. Senate for D.C. They could do the same thing with Puerto Rico. The Democrats will run amok, and they did not win at the ballot box the power or the authority or the moral authority to be able to do this. And that's why Mitch McConnell is going to protect the Senate rules, and he has promised. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure we hold him to this. But he promised to grind the Senate to a halt if they ever try to do that.
You know, and these are not idle words you're talking about. And this D.C., for example, this D.C. statehood, there was a hearing on that today in the Senate. I mean, they're pushing through all of this right now. They're trying to. So, David, what does this mean for the Republic? In other words, from the filibuster standpoint, would this not just fundamentally change the democracy, the Republic as we know it?
It would. And I think for the long term, and that's the problem. We have these We have these rules, and we're a civilized society based on the culture that we as a society, those norms that we've agreed to. And the Senate debate, that decorum, that compromise. Look, I'm a conservative activist. I want conservative policy, conservative legislation. But I also understand that, like Ronald Reagan, you take 80% of the loaf, and then you come back and you try to get the other 20. Mm-hmm. We don't get everything we want in the first bite, but we have to preserve the filibuster. It has to be done. At all costs.
Yeah.
If they do this, it has to be really a battle of attrition on the Senate floor to grind the Senate to a halt, mm-hmm. so the Biden agenda doesn't go anywhere at any time. They get less done through Mitch McConnell than if they kept the filibuster. And let me just say, it is a key to victory. If they remove the filibuster, if they kill it, we are going to win handily. We will win back the Senate and win back the House. And Joe Biden's term will be only two years, because we are going to then not agree with anything. Obviously, look what happened to Barack Obama and his agenda.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that means that these election integrity efforts we're seeing in across state around the country, those are integral to this, because you might be able to win on policy based on the left going nutso, but you got to have the states and the legislatures making sure they're doing their jobs when it comes to cracking down on voter fraud.
Yeah, absolutely. If we can't win an election, what's it all matter, right? Right. If they destroy the integrity of our voter system by just smashing down the barriers. Mm-hmm. And look, you have to have a COVID vaccine card. Okay. They want you to, your papers, please.
What
but
in the world?
You can come into this country with COVID right now in Joe Biden's open borders policy. You could flood into this country from who knows from where, who knows your background and your intent and your health, and you can just come into this country. It's really a world upside down when we can't have basic voter integrity and voter ID laws, let alone this mass mail-in ballots that were really the key to Joe Biden's victory this past November.
I got about 45 seconds left, David. You mentioned these vaccine passports. Don't even get me started. I mean, is this where we're going? Like, hey, you've been vaccinated. You're good. You're one of the good people. You can travel.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, seriously, there's so many constitutional issues here potentially down the road. Is there not?
Well, there certainly is, and that's why you'll see these types of things, like as if H.R. 1 goes through. Right. You're going to see that at the United States Supreme Court. People like myself and others will take these things to court and make sure that they get overturned. We will fight for our free speech rights. We'll fight for the Constitution. But John Kerry, just the other day, wasn't wearing a mask on an American Airlines flight, right? And we, as your average citizen, we would be told you're banned from the airline for life.
Right.
Joe Biden, nobody even pays attention. American Airlines doesn't even address it. They say, oh, we're just looking into it.
Right.
And it's been days. They don't do anything. So, I it's the rules for thee, but not for me brigade,
right,
which is what Joe Biden's administration is all about.
Dave Bossie, great to see you. President, Citizens United. Thanks for coming on the show yet again. Really appreciate you. Thank you. All right, that's Dave Bossie. By the way, he's right about the mask. Remember Joe Biden? I'm going to put a federal mask mandate into place. Then he goes to the Lincoln Memorial without a mask. That's a winner. Back in a moment.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. Time for, I've got the mug over here today on the set, The Last Sip. Let me put this down gently before I cause an accident. Why don't we start The Last Sip this way, with my favorite, your favorite, maybe it's not your favorite, but it's my favorite, poll of the day.
The Water Cooler, poll of the day.
I just want to get out on the dance floor when I hear that music. All right, which of the following, you don't want to see that, by the way, which of the following do you believe is most responsible for the current migration crisis at the border? Joe Biden leading the pack. Way to go, Joe. 40% for Joe Biden. Donald Trump, 27%, really? 12% for Congress, and 21% say not sure. I'd rather be at Chipotle, and I don't care. Why are you stopping me on the street for this stupid question? Though I have to say, I don't know if they're stopping people on the street. By the way, look at this poll. Can we do some math? I love doing math on the fly. Joe Biden, 40%. Congress, 12%. That's 52% that believe, wait for it, Joe Biden and the Democrat Congress are responsible for what's going on at the border. So memo to Democrat strategists for 2022. Just remember that poll. By the way, I think those numbers are going to increase. Sorry to tell you. All right, let's move on here in The Last Sip and talk about the Georgetown basketball team. I tell you what, the entire Georgetown team knelt for the national anthem this weekend in March Madness, and they proceeded to lose by 23 points. And I say, absolutely. I wish they lost by 33 points. They lost to Colorado. And, you know, the image is striking, right? Because you've got the Georgetown players, all of them kneeling on the court. And then you have the Colorado players all standing. And to see the juxtaposition of the Colorado players standing and the Georgetown players kneeling, I mean, it represented so much to me. I mean, obviously, number one, it represented the divisiveness in this country, clearly. And I don't want to get into patriotism here and all of that stuff and Colin Kaepernick, but the truth of the matter is there are some serious, serious issues going on when it comes to cancel culture, when it comes to political correctness. In this case, political incorrectness is really out of style right now, right? I mean, if you say something, and I'm not talking about being mean or nasty or derisive to someone. That's not what I'm talking about. But you know what? We've lost all sense of fun in this country. You know, can we be a little bit of politically incorrect without being insensitive? It can be done. I'm not saying we should be insensitive. I'm saying, though, political incorrectness needs to be brought back. Let's bring that back here on the Water Cooler, huh? Jack Dorsey, are you listening? Come on, bring it on. Let's go. Back in a moment.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. It's the end of the show, and it's time for what camera do I turn to? Let's see. Let me just guess. Am I right? Anna Perez? I'm right, Anna Perez. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thanks for
having me back.
Well, Real America's Voice correspondent. So what do you bring to the table today, or to the couch, I should say?
Well, today making headlines, we have that Minnesota actually lifted restrictions on capacity in churches now. Of course, this comes after, you know, numerous lawsuits that we've seen during the coronavirus pandemic and all of the lockdowns. Mm-hmm. Also, Tom Walz, the governor of Minnesota, has been recalled about three times, or attempted to recall him about three times. So this really isn't surprising. I think that we've seen a lot of backlash for this. Mm-hmm. Back in October, actually, in just this past year, we saw how, you know, a lot of Orthodox Jewish communities in New York were being targeted. Of course, they filed a lot of lawsuits against Andrew Cuomo, mm-hmm. who, of course, was a lot of people said that, you know, they criticized him for targeting specifically the Jewish community. We saw a lot of protests break out in New York with the BLM protests and everything. And right. I think really what we're seeing here is major inconsistency in terms of who was being targeted during these lockdowns. Mm-hmm. So I think it's about time that they are lifting these restrictions. And I think they're hoping to set the record for the rest of the states too, to open up their capacities as well for their churches.
And California especially has been, you know, just really on lockdown so much. And then a lot of churches said, you know, we're going to go to court and sue you over this. This is a big religious liberty issue.
It is.
Sure. Yeah. So where do we go from here? Like Minnesota is one state. I guess you're saying that there are a lot of states around the country that are doing this.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of religious liberty advocates see this as a major win. I think all Americans should, at least. I mean, this is a major liberty issue here, religious liberty, but I think it just goes to show, you know, how much freedom we've lost during these lockdowns. And mm-hmm. I think it's about time that this happens, and not just for religion, but, you know, everything else, small businesses opening up. Mm-hmm. I think we're hoping to see this happen across a multitude of different ways. I mean, not just for religion, but businesses as well. Mm-hmm. Like you said, in California, it's been a major problem in New York. So hopefully this will set the stage for that as well.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought this to our attention, because, I mean, more people need to understand exactly what's going on from a liberty standpoint. Anna, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And by the way, let me just say, let's not have any sort of cheerleading and congratulations that you gave us back our freedoms and liberties. None of that. Should have never been taken away in the first place. But now we're like, oh, well, thank you so much. Thank you for allowing us to go to church. Thank you for allowing us to open up our business. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm analyzing. All right. See you tomorrow, everybody. Russ Vogt, former OMB director, tomorrow.